Good morning. How's everybody? Okay. Are you ready to get disciplined? I told Tanya coming up here, and I thought about it last night, telling you this was an R-rated teaching, because it's heavy. It was heavy for me when I went through it. So, anyway. Okay. This week, we're going into... It could be some inner healing that you need that you don't really... You know, Pastor Terry said Wednesday night, we need deliverance. How many of you ever really experienced deliverance? Real deliverance. What do you consider real deliverance? What do you consider real deliverance? Yes. Wasn't what? Okay. Gotcha. Amen. You know, I think the one spirit that Christians deal mostly with is called a familiar spirit. We deal with that a lot and we don't recognize it. That's a hard one to recognize. So as we go through this teaching, think about some of the things like that, that you might be coming at you that you don't know you're dealing with, because a lot of us are dealing with it and don't even realize it. Until somebody points it out.
Would you define it?
What?
Would you define that? Familiar spirit?
Well, it's in your before Christ, some things that you were into back then. Okay. And then it comes back at you, but it comes through people. Yes. They're pulling you back, they're swaying you back into that mindset, into that relationship, that behavior. Yeah. Okay? Okay. What we're called, this is a sin that lies in your flesh. It's in your carnal nature. Sin, now listen to this. Sin that cleaves to all your words and actions. Anything that comes between you and your relationship with the Lord. Now we all struggle with besetting sins. Y'all know what a besetting sin is? It's one you just keep doing over and over and over and over. And you don't even realize it. But there are besetting sins. That's an area of weakness which we're particularly susceptible to when we're tempted. Y'all, I'm going to have some water. My mouth is dry as it can be. Well, y'all, excuse me. I got some water, but I don't know if that's going to help. We'll see. I'll have to keep it fresh. Okay. Yes. Okay, those things are called the little foxes. You know, the scripture in Solomon, it says, take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's the little things in our life that can separate us from God. I mean, we're not like going off in left field somewhere, but we're not totally surrendered either. In 1 Corinthians 5:6, it says, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? So just a... And you know, a fox is such a small animal. And he, when he goes into the vinery, to the vineyard, to eat the vines or the grapes, he starts from the bottom. And then when he gets up, then the vines will die on their own, causing the good fruit to fall to the ground. Well, that's what happens to us when these foxes get real active in our life. They start eating the good fruit down here, and then or something that we've been working on maybe for 10 or 15 years. And when he gets up there, that 15 years that you've been putting in, gone, gone. So you really have to watch these little foxes. The foxes are the sins, attitudes, and habits that we more often overlook. We overlook them. We think, oh, that's just me, or that's just you. But it's not. It's an excuse to defend. We use excuses to defend what we do. Sins of the heart, jealousy, pride, impurity. We all know what all of that is. Then we meet people, you know, and we're trying to talk to them, and maybe they've been down this long road of getting free from drugs, you know, but they're the little foxes that they just can't seem to get rid of. And what they do is they defend themselves. Well, look what I've done. I'm not on drugs anymore, you know. We defend ourselves because we don't want to deal with those little things in our life that drive people crazy. Yes.
We got a good saying in AA. Sober up a horse thief.
That's good. Never heard that expression. That's true. That's true. They'll dismiss a friend talking to them. You know what I'm saying? Or trying to lead them in the right way. Let's see. Let's go back over here. Whatever we permit to eat off the roots of grace and the fruit of the Spirit from our lives, what are we admitting into our lives that's eating grace away? You know, grace is free. A little worldly association that draws the heart away from God. That could be a friendship. Let's go to going to a bar. I'll give you an example. It's been, how long has it been? Probably close to 30 years. Maybe not quite that long. But I was single, and I had a friend that wanted me to go with her to Parents Without Partners. It was a dance. Guess what? I went. I was miserable. But I came home that night, and the Lord just started dealing with me like crazy. And he told me, he said, Martha, he said, I didn't call you to dance in the world. I called you to dance in church. See, if you don't have an open mind to hear God, you're not going to hear those little things. If you know what I'm saying, well, this is something that you really want to do. You're not going to let God deal with you over things like that, because you're going to have to give up some stuff. If you want to grow up in God, you're going to have to give some stuff up. Little foxes are small animals that cannot reach this, what I just told you, reach the hanging vines. It is one thing to lose some of one season's grapes, you know, but to lose 14 or 15 years of growing in the Lord, and all of a sudden you do something that sets you back? Don't want to do that. Okay. Where am I at? Y'all hang with me, okay? Can't remember. Oh, there it is. Okay. This is the thing that was big when I was in a Baptist church before God started really growing me up. This little fox of an unruly, undisciplined tongue is the fox that does the most harm in the Lord's vineyard. The little fox of a lying tongue, a critical, unkind tongue, the dreadful fox of a tale-bearing, gossiping tongue. Now, some of you may not be guilty of that. I don't know. At one point, I know I was. Yeah. Psalm 51:10 says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. What shall be done unto thee, thou false tongue?" You can interject.
Did you wake up?
I said, we better stop talking like this.
Yeah. So, you know, y'all think about it. You heard it, this preacher might say, you tell somebody, well, we need to pray for so-and-so. Duh. And then you say, they're doing this. What are they doing? What do we need to pray about? And then you rattle on and on and on. That's gossip. That is really gossip. Okay. Then Psalm 141, 3 through 4. Set a guard over my mouth, Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Do not let my heart be drawn to what is evil, so that I take part in wicked deeds along with those who are evildoers. Do not let me eat their delicacies. You know, friends will pull you into things. I told my daughter, I said, when she was, I think she's like 16, 17, 18 years old, and we had a neighbor. I'm not talking about you that much, Tanya. But we had a neighbor across the street that she was real good friends with in high school. And I let her go places with her when she wasn't away for a swim meet. Well, one night, Tanya comes sneaking in the house about 1 o'clock in the morning, pulled her shoes off at the front door, snuck into bed. Guess what Mama done? Mama wasn't asleep. But I told Tanya, I said, Tanya, if she's really a good friend to you, she's not going to encourage you to break your mother's rules. And you know what? Tanya stopped having anything to do with her, and I was so thankful. She laid it down. Yeah. Yes, ma'am. Yes. Yes. You're exactly right. You're exactly right, Tanya. We don't know when we're around these people and they're dealing with this spirit, that could be a familiar spirit. What they're dealing with is going to attack you, believe me. I don't let anybody pray for me and put hands on my head. Don't touch my head when you pray for me. I don't want to go there because it can mess with you, believe me. So, okay. Psalm 139, 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious ways. We need to pray these kind of prayers, people. We do. We need to ask God to search our heart, to purify our heart, to purify our motives. I looked up the word search, and it means to ransack. Like a policeman comes to your house with a warrant, search warrant. Yeah. Yeah, pull it out of everything. Get all that dirty laundry out and wash it and clean it up. You know? Yes. And another good scripture to pray when we're growing up, is Ephesians 1, 17 and 18. Grant unto me, O Lord, a spirit of wisdom, revelation, and knowledge, that we can know you and your ways. You know, we need to know God and we need to know his ways. Let him search your heart and see where you're at. Don't break the fellowship chain. It might help if I put my glasses on. Now, this is really good. Jeremiah 17:10 says, I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind. He examines our mind, not just our heart, but our mind. To reward each person according to their conduct, according to what their deeds deserve. This scripture hit me a long time ago and I'd never read it. But you know what? When I found out, when I read it and really realized what God was talking about, he said we're to abstain from even the appearance of evil. If it's an appearance of evil, you better run or you're going to get caught up in it. And I had to recognize some things in my life, you know, that I had to turn away from, get away from, go the other way. If we have no basis for what truth is, our entire life will be spent making decisions based on feelings. Make decisions based on feelings, not a good thing. Because I've been there too. Or make decisions when you're angry. That's not a good thing. The flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what the flesh is. It's you're having a battle constantly between your flesh and your spirit man. It's a constant battle between your carnal nature and your spiritual nature. And if you want to grow up in God, you have to learn to discern. The Bible says we should have a discerning spirit. And there is a gift of the spirit, which is a discernment of the spirit. But we can have just natural discerning. You know, to where we're able to discern when a person maybe be lying to us, you know, or whatever. But anyway, okay. It is better, this is Proverbs 16:32. It is better to be patient than powerful. It is better to win control over yourself than whole cities. Self-control is a spirit. Part of the spirit of God. One of the fruits, I mean. Then Proverbs 25:28. Like a city whose walls are broken down is a man who lacks control. That self-control is a biggie. Is it not? It is a big thing to be self-controlled. And you have to work at it. If you're a disciple of God, which the root word of disciple is discipline, it calls for discipline. Discipline to read your Bible, discipline to pray, discipline to study. You really have to discipline your flesh. Get it under control of your spirit man. Okay? Okay. Hebrews 12:1-2. Let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. I press toward the prize of the high call in Christ Jesus. How many times have I used that scripture for myself? I tell the enemy no. And y'all have to learn to tell him no too. Recognize him and tell him no, because he comes in as an angel of light. You won't even know he's there, people. And all of a sudden, You're doing things you know you're not supposed to be doing. Thinking things you're not supposed to be thinking. Because I tell you what, this mind will take you in a lot of directions. And where your mind goes, your body follows. We got to do it. God wants us to grow up. We better be growing up because it's the end time. It's going to be some hard times coming if we don't know God. We're going to be wondering what in the world's going on. Proverbs 29:18. Where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint. If there's no revelation coming forth, you're undisciplined. The New Testament word for self-control is enkratia. I don't know if I pronounced that right. But it's E-N-K-R-A-T-E-I-A. Now listen to the meaning. Its root meaning is power over something. Self-mastery. Where no one holds power over one's own passions and instincts. Desires can become so intense that we begin to live our lives with our desires. Our desires drive us. And most of the time, they'll drive you away from God. The enemy tested Jesus in the desert. Pride, hunger. Can you say no? How easy is it for you to say no? The battle against temptations is a noble one. All of you battle temptations, right? Anybody here don't battle temptations? But God wants to bring us into a place where we no longer struggle to repress our desires. The real true freedom in Christ, this is great. We can refuse to become a slave to unhealthy desires. We can refuse that. That's a wonderful thing, is it not, to know that God will do that? We don't have to worry about desires anymore because we can say no. We're tested with that chocolate nut sundae, that lava cake from, ooh, you're so tested with that. Oh, yeah. But you will be. Anytime you're trying to give up something, believe me, you're going to be tested on it. And I know fasting has never been a good subject in the church. But some of you may never get delivered, unless, like Richard said, unless you fast and pray. I remember when my husband left me in 1994. I come home from work and my house was cleaned out. He took most of the furniture. And the way my house was built, I'd go in my living room, and this way I could go into the kitchen, and I had a doorway this way would go into the kitchen. Well, when I realized what had happened, I started walking around and around and around. And I said, Lord, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? Because I knew that if God didn't help me through this, I'd be back out in the world. I'd be dancing at the dance halls. I'd be out chasing a man. I mean, I knew what my weaknesses were. But I just asked the Lord. I went around and around. And I said, Lord, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? Finally, I sat down on the steps that went upstairs. And I just got quiet and I said, Lord, what do I do? He said, fast and pray. I said, what? I've never fasted in my life. He said, fast and pray. I said, Lord, you're going to have to give me some scripture on this because I've never fasted. Oh, he said, go to, and I, believe me, I had never read Joel 2 that I knew of. He said, go to Joel 2. The part that really stuck with me, rend your heart. Rend your heart. Let me see if I can find it and read. Sonia, if you got it, one of y'all can read it. Joel 2, the first couple of verses. I should have written it down, but I didn't know I was going to tell y'all this stuff. Start with number one and read the first three or four verses, I think. Yep, that's fine. Wait a minute. I want them to hear you. Because I couldn't hear you.
Okay. You said two, right? Now, yes. 14 says this, but okay, two.
Yep. Yours don't read like mine.
Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. And this is verse 25 of Joel 2. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you.
Thank you. Thank you, Sonia. Did y'all hear that? How many of you hit a nerve with? Y'all not got no nerves this morning? Right. Right. Another good chapter to read is Isaiah 58. This is a fast that I have called. And then he tells you in that whole chapter what will happen when you fast. Honey, if you read that chapter and understand it, there's a lot. Just like Sonia said, God's going to deliver you. He's going to put you to deep thought. Am I living this out? Am I doing it? Because God will do a deep work in you when you fast, I'm telling you. He will. So, but y'all think about that. Now listen to what God tells us when we're doing all of this. Isaiah 55:1. Wait and listen, everyone who is thirsty. Come to the waters, and he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come. Priceless spiritual wine and milk without money and without price, simply for the self-surrender that accepts the blessing. All we've got to do is self-surrender. When we're surrendered, this is what it means. When you hold up both hands, you're surrendered. Then Isaiah 55:2. Why do we spend our money for that which is not bread? We waste our money on other things. And your earnings for what does not satisfy. What this is talking about, the things that we go after in order to satisfy the restlessness in our soul. We go after power. We go after money. We chase dreams, you know, whatever. We can't do that. Hearken diligent to me and eat what is good. Jesus gave the Israelites fresh manna when they were in the wilderness every day. Fresh manna. Manna is the word of God. Fresh manna every day. And let your soul delight itself in the fatness, the profuseness of spiritual joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. You don't know how many times these scriptures stick with you. When you're walking through something and it's specifically to you, when you see those scriptures, you catch them. You take hold of them. Let them become a part of you. When you are growing up in the Lord, you're going to become one. One with Him. When we become one with Him, it's awesome. I didn't know this when I was doing my studying. Isaiah 55:3. Incline your ear, submit and consent to the divine will, and come to me, and your soul will revive, and I will make an everlasting covenant or league with you. Even the sure mercy, kindness, goodwill, and compassion promised to David. Well, the covenant that he made with David was a salt covenant. Why a salt covenant? Preservation. It don't run out. It keeps you fresh. To endure regardless circumstances. That's the reason. The symbol of an enduring covenant. Salt keeps things fresh or alive, whatever. He also made a covenant, salt covenant, with God and Israel and with God and the Aaronic priesthood. Think about that. Food for thought. Okay? Now, we've talked a lot, but don't believe everything you think. You cannot be trusted to tell yourself the truth. You can't. I'm serious. The devil will have you lying to yourself all the time. And you think you're speaking truth. Anyway, when we judge ourselves by any other standard than God's standard, we are judging ourselves based on a satanic formula designed to enslave you into a mindset about who you were really created to be. Judge yourself by the word of God. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am above and not beneath. I am the head and not the tail. Call those things which be not as though they were. That's called fiat. Okay. We should recognize decisions that would empower demons to delay or destroy your destiny. No, that's me. Okay. We make agreements with the devil all the time. Do we not? We do. We make agreements with him all the time. And guess what happens when we do that? We open a door for his foot to come right on in. And the more we agree with him, he's going to open that door all the way. So be careful of what you're saying. The Bible, the mouth is an unruly thing. The tongue. Blah, 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 blah. It's as simple as saying, I can't make it without a cup of coffee. You can. Got to have my fix for today. Chocolate cake. I know that sounds silly, but it's a truth. It is the truth. When God gets down to the nitty-gritty in your life, the little foxes, he's going to come at you with some of these things that you're doing, that you're saying, that you're looking at, that you're spending money on. You believe that? Constant negative thoughts, habits, bitterness, unforgiveness, gossip, idolatry. Everything we suffer in our Christian life is to produce death to self, our carnality. I love the scripture where God said the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, able to cut asunder the soul and the spirit, the marrow and the bones. See, that's what God wants. That's what happens when we study, when we pray and everything. God is separating our soulish realm, our mind, our will and emotions. And believe me, this is a mess going on in your head. I know what goes on in your head because it goes in my head. And we have to fight the fight of faith. We have to continually fight and not give in. Don't give up. If you give up, guess what? The devil will take you right out of the battle. You have to fight for what you get with God because he said the kingdom of God suffereth violence and the violent take it by force. I used to think, what in the world is he talking about? Some things you're just going to have to fight for. Like I'm in a fight right now for my health or my strength. Of course, I'm a little old too. Some of it's probably attributed to age. But I've been battling for a long time with pain in my body. But I don't struggle so much with the mind anymore because God's brought me through so much. And you'll find as God takes you through things, the battle of the mind will begin to cease. And you'll begin to hear God clearer. Right now, there's probably a mess up in there. It's all gloomy and glommy, but learn to change the videos in your head. Put on a new video when you start having these crazy thoughts. Start thinking good things. When you're watching that television show that you know you shouldn't be watching, The Lord started dealing with me about some. My son-in-law, he told me years ago, he said, Mama Martha, he said, the Lord told me you watch too much television. You know what the first thing I wanted to do? Smack him. Well, I didn't say anything. We went on, and I think, about 6 years ago, the Lord started one by one taking little TV shows. But see, I gave them up willingly because I knew that God wouldn't watch those shows. And I'll tell you, some of them were Law and Order. What was another one? Anyway, it was, Dancing with the Stars. That was one. I love that show. But there was too much sexuality, you know? A person could get stirred watching that. Think, I mean, that's the things you got to think about. I know that's crazy. She'll laugh at me. But it's true. You could. A man especially. He sees them women out there almost naked. And they're doing the booty cut and all that. Sound like you, Donna Lynn. So anyway, that's my story and I'm sticking with it. I hope you. You're going to get a life at this. My mama used to watch the soap operas. And my daddy said, told her one day, he said, Dora, you're going to go to hell if you don't stop watching them soap operas. Lord, I gave them up a long time ago. I mean, 40, 50 years ago, I gave those things up. But anyway, thank you for listening to me and putting up with my mess. I'll see you next week.